What's good, family? Welcome to another episode of An Honest Conversation. I'm your host and moderator, D. Moraney, and with me tonight, I have the one and only.
It's your boy, Son Capone, the greatest rapper never known, in the building.
What's good with you, Son? It's been a minute since we've pulled up. How's everything good with you, man?
Oh, man, everything is beautiful, you know, just sustaining, working, and keeping the head above water, man. So life is good.
Hey, man, that's good to hear. Lots happened since we've last pulled up as a crew. It's just going to be you and I tonight. No King OG, and no bootlegs and B-sides. So big ups to them. But we definitely going to go ahead and get into some shit tonight. So let's first start off on a serious note, and I want to say rest in peace to Toker from Brownside, who passed away a couple days ago. Brownside played a very important role in the evolution of what some call the genre of Chicano rap, being represented by, you know, the late Eazy-E being the first, one of the first Hispanic rap group signed to a major label, and releasing, I want to say, up to 4 or 5 records as a collective. Even though the people within Brownside had changed, Toker was definitely, you know, the mainstay, the leader of that. And then later on in life, he went to become more political, fighting against the gentrification that takes place in East LA and South LA here in California, also immigration reform and things of that nature. And also something that is real big to me is championing the truce between the Sureños and Norteños. Toker was about that as well. So rest in peace to him. I know he has a family, and if I'm not mistaken, a young son, so definitely condolences to them. He wasn't that old, and it just continues to be, not so much hip hop itself, but within the black and brown community, a lot of, you know, us at a certain age are starting to pass away from different things. And I don't have any information on what took place. They just said that his family found him non-responsive. So I just want to ask you your thoughts as we continue to age, as our group of, not so much group, but our age range of hip hop, as we get older, we start to see more of us pass on, and your thoughts in regards to that, and if you have any thoughts in regards to Toker and Brownside.
I mean, everybody ages, and we just got to be cognizant of our health, and especially being, of color or black and brown. I mean, with the health, I mean, we start to deteriorate, and, you know, with the lifestyles that we live, and being prideful and not getting checked out, there's things that, we don't follow through with, including myself. I'm guilty of it myself. And, as a people, we got to take our health, more serious. I mean, there's a lot of anger and rage and just a lot of stress that bears down on our health, heavily. So, I mean, that's why people of color, I mean, unfortunately, that's why we go sooner, than other races, just because, we carry a heavier burden, unknowingly. So as far as, getting that checked out. So, I mean, we got to get on top of it as a community, it's just unfortunate as far as with Toker. I was telling Bootlegs and B-Side and King OG earlier today that actually I had an opportunity to work with him. Somebody that we knew
mutually.
Yeah, that I knew mutually, or that we knew mutually. He had actually had heard my music. He wanted to do our work, but he was in Mexico. He was in Mexico, and he didn't know when he was going to be back. He had some kind of legal issues going on, and that's why he was in Mexico. But you know, definitely a staple, you know, I mean, it, again, with the activism and everything, also what he was also working with prison reform,
prison reform as well.
And then, you know, and he was trying to, you know, I wouldn't say commercialize, but just, you know, trying to get Chicanos respect in the hip hop community. So, you know, very important staple, and it's sad that we lose one so soon.
Definitely. Let me touch on that real quickly about Chicanos, because we've really never had this conversation on the show. You being, you know, Mexican American descent, I wouldn't really say you're a Chicano rapper. I mean, you know. But what is your thought in regards to where the Hispanic artist is currently in hip hop? I mean, hip hop's been now around, if I'm not mistaken, over 40 years. And I don't know if we still have prominent mainstream hip hop artists who are Mexican, Latino, you know, as far as longevity. They, you know, they're sprinkled, you know, within the game. But as far as longevity on a mainstream level, we just have yet to see that. Where it's the reverse of the white rapper. You have Eminem, you have a couple other cats who, you know, continuously drop music and have some mainstream success. So, speaking from the heart, Simon, what do you feel is the reason why we really haven't seen a Latino MC as a mainstay within hip hop?
I mean, it's just the Latino culture, I don't think, is been embraced. And, I mean, unless it's with drug dealing, or, you know what I mean, that's really the only Latino culture that gets accepted, whether it's, you know, fictional characters like Tony Montana or El Chapo. You know, I mean, you get El Chapo love, and you know, Game has a track titled El Chapo, but there's no Latinos on it or anything like that. Mm-hmm. And it, you know, no, we get left out. You know what I mean? With Nipsey and YG, you know what I mean? With the Donald Trump issue, mm-hmm. You know what I mean? I thought it would have been perfect to throw a Latin, you know, MC in there, mm-hmm. You know what I mean? To go ahead and share those point of views, because, you know, we're getting attacked as well. So, I mean, I just think that I mean, in California and New York, Latino rappers, they're prevalent. But everywhere else, I mean, in Texas too. I'll shout out Texas. But everywhere else, they're not introduced to the Latin culture. So I think it's hard for us to cross over other than New York, California, and Texas. And, you know, in somewhat Florida, you know. So I think, you know, most people don't understand the culture. And I think that we don't have that opening. And I mean, it would be smart for the labels, because of how heavy the population is in all the major cities. You know, I mean, in the major cities, there's a heavy Latin population. Chicago is one of them. You know what I mean? So whoever opens it, I promise you, is going to be a rich man. But don't let San Capone tell you.
And, you know, you're talking about the lane, for lack of a better word, of the demographic of just Hispanics, Latinos in the United States. And it's funny, because I don't know if you heard the Drake joint yet, where Drake is actually rapping in Spanish with Bad Bunny. So, you know, I think the industry is definitely aware that there's a lane there. You had Tekashi with the little garbage reggaeton track he had. So I definitely think there's a lane there. And I agree with you. I think it is the culture. But I'm reverse, where I say that I think it is the Latino culture not really attaching itself to hip hop, meaning that it's, you know, maybe now you had maybe a generation of people who grew up listening to hip hop in their home, being played by their parents or something like that. But when it comes to a lot of Latino cultures, they stick to their roots, you know what I mean? And whatever the music is of their country, that's pretty much what they're banging first. And when they come out, or even if they're born here, you know what I mean? The kids then have to kind of grasp and pick up on everything else. And it's not really kind of accepted by the elders within the generation. So I think that is one thing that is definitely hampering the growth of hip hop when it comes to, well, not hip hop, when it comes to Latin artists, when it comes to being being able to be that mainstream success, because you have folks like Snow the Product, you know, who has said herself, Latinos don't even respect or don't even accept me, and I'm out here repping for them, but for whatever reason, they're not checking for me really when it comes to music. And I know as an artist yourself, let me ask you a take on that. Do you feel that you get the support, especially from your people, when it comes to your music, because you're not in that cookie cutter frame of you being a Chicano rapper?
I would say it's half and half. You know what I mean? I don't have 100% of the support, because if I did, you know what I mean, we would be on a whole different platform. So I mean, like I said, if I go out and rock and do my thing, then of course, you know, somebody that looks like them is, of course, I mean, obviously they may not know me, but when they see somebody that's rocking that looks like them, then I'll get love. But I mean, as far as, you know, the homegrown support or anything like that, it's rough, because, you know, out here, especially in California, it's all attached to a name, you know. So if doesn't matter who it is, if you can get featured with, you know, somebody, you would get more respect, not for your music, but who you're featured with, mm-hmm. or who you're working with, or who you're tied to, more than, you know, your music as a collective. And that, I mean, unfortunately in California, that's a problem. In Texas, I don't think that it would be the same issue. I think it would be more drawn musically, you know. And I think in New York, same thing. It's more drawn musically. In California, unfortunately, we're in Hollywood, and that's pretty much how the industry is run here in California.
Well, let's again, rest in peace to Toker. I know we got off, you know, subject, but if you listen to the show, you know that's kind of how things go here. So rest in peace to Toker, and again, condolences to his family. Again, if you're an older head like us, you know, you definitely need to make sure you're taking care of yourself, because for whatever reason, it just feels like our generation is passing along a lot sooner than, you know, some of the generations that have preceded us. You know what I mean? So we're going to get into a couple topics tonight. First off, Fab. I don't know if you heard, but word came down a couple days ago that he's been indicted on four charges of one of them felony assault, terrorist threats, everything stemming from, you know, the alleged argument and assault that occurred with his fiance, girlfriend. I'm not sure exactly who she is, but I know that's his woman, mother of his two children. It's crazy to me that, you know, in this day and age, that you still have people that can't control their emotions. And again, I'm not saying that this is what happened. I take no side on that. But career-wise, because we're not going to talk about what we don't know about, we'll talk about what possibly could take place. But do you think this is it for Fab? Outside, let's say he beats these legal, you know, he beats the charges, doesn't do any type of time. But does this change his opinion, or does this change who he is in the eyes of his fans? Especially because Fab, for a while, was not only the king of jerseys, but he was also the king of these girl songs.
Now, I don't think it's going to change his or the perception of him in hip-hop. Hip-hop, I mean, we're a forgiving culture, you know, as far as, it's cast is doing much worse. Now, his market is slimmed down, you know what I mean, as far as he's not the same Fab, and, you know, as 2005, going platinum and everything like that. So, I mean, I think he'll still hold on to his core. You know, I don't think he smudged his name that much. I mean, it's unfortunate that, you know, he reached out like that, and, you know, I mean, going through all of it, you know, but he put himself in that situation. So, I mean, he's got to be accountable, but I don't think it's gonna harness his career or any opinions on him.
Right. So you think basically at this point, in his career, and I don't want to say Fab is like a nostalgia act, but people aren't really checking for new music. I mean, Summertime Shootout was almost 2.5, almost 3 years old, maybe. So at this point, do you think he's pretty much in that same category? You could put a Ja Rule, you could put a Nelly, where they've done their thing, and at this point they're on that kind of novelty circuit where you want to kind of throw it back and have a, you know, early 2000 jam. And I'm just saying, you know, him and Jada put out the Freddie and Jason record, but it's been real cool for Fab since that. After the situation with the Mother of His Children, he did put out a boot up remix or whatever. But we really haven't heard anything musically from Fab. He probably has some things going on behind the scenes or whatnot. So you think but basically because where he's at in his career, kind of at the end of it, that at this point, you know, there's nothing that you can really do to harm him going forward.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, Fab is going to be on the Carnival cruise performing for the guests sometime soon. So, I mean, you know, it's just that time. You know what I mean? There's a time where your creativity, you know, outgrows you, or you outgrow your creativity. And I think he's just at that point in his career. You know, he can still bar and everything like that. But as far as, you know, becoming relevant and being one of the, you know, top acts or top 20 or wherever you want to place him, I just don't think he has it in him anymore. And I mean, maybe he's a father, and, you know, I mean, obviously his priorities have changed, and I'm not mad at him for that. And I think that's, you know, that's more of his angle. So yeah, his time of reaching the top 10 or 20 on the Billboard, man, that's all a wrap.
Well, again, man, big shouts out to both of them. And I don't mean that on some asshole shit, I'm being honest. You know, Fab and Emily B or whatnot, you know, hopefully that there is no irreversible damage done to, you know, I know this accusations are serious and things of that nature, but hopefully at the end of the day, you know, the family can repair itself and not be broken up, you know, especially because they do have children. You know, and you would hate for that to happen, you know, based on him losing his cool, if the reports are true. And there has to be some truth to it in order for this man to be indicted on 4 felony charges. You know, definitely unfortunate. So let's move on, man. A record that you and I have not heard, but we're going to discuss it anyway, without discussing the music. But for a while now, people are like, hey, when is someone from the Migos, let me get it right, not going to call them the Migos, but when is someone from the Migos going to step outside of that group and drop something? So Quavo just dropped something. The single's called Bubblegum. I have no idea what the album is. But on the album, he's rolled out a whole bunch of features. He's got Drake, Madonna, Cardi B, 21 Savage, Lil Baby, who I heard is making a lot of noise, I never heard of his music, Travis Scott, Kid Cudi, and of course Offset, Takeoff, fellow Migos members. So let me ask you your opinion first time. Do you think this is going to be good or bad for the group once you start kind of breaking up and doing your own thing?
I mean, he's got some heavy hitters on there, you know, and I think, I mean, musically, I think it's going to be a musically inclined album, you know, because he's got some good, I mean, not just, I would say, artists, you know what I mean? He's got, like, real musicians, you know what I mean, and writers that are, you know, collabing with him. So I think, depending on the reception of this album, you know, in the music appreciation, yeah, I mean, if he can put it all together, I think that it might be a wrap for the Migos. Because it's why go back? You know what I mean? I think that if he starts to have, you know, his success, you know, Bobby Brown style, you know, it might be a wrap.
And I agree. And I know other people have said, hey, you know what? This shouldn't be a problem because groups kind of go out and do their things all the time. And normally when that happens, that's because there's some sort of strife. I can't remember a group offhand that said, hey, let's take a pause for the cause. Let's go do our thing solo and then let's come back. First thing that stands out to me, and I think is the most important for this generation, is going to be the paper, the money. And I'm pretty sure Quavo can make a lot more solo than in the group. But I think this is a big album for not only Quavo, but I think for Quality Control. Because other than Cardi B, if we look at the roster, Lil Baby again, I know he's making some noise, haven't heard anything from him. Rich the Kid dropped something earlier this year, didn't do too well. I've never heard of OG Parker, and this is Quality Control's roster. Lil Yachty has something new coming out, but he did drop something that, you know, didn't do too well. Stefflon Don, OG Mako, Young Greatness, and Griff PX. Again, I have no idea who half these cats are. But the Migos are the flagship for Quality Control. One of them, because Cardi is also doing the thing too, you know. So what happens if this doesn't do well for, you know, Quavo and now Quality Control? So I think this is a dangerous release, really, to put to let him go first as the first solo member off the Migos. And to your point, he's got some heavy hitters on there, and I think they put a lot of heavy hitters on there so this album could do well. But yeah, I agree with you. I think it is, it will look like the beginning and the end, because I think now that Quavo has a record dropping, and I'll ask you to put your CEO hat on in this one, do you allow Offset and Takeoff to drop their projects as well, depending on how well Quavo does? Or if Quavo bombs, well, I don't think he'll bomb, but if he doesn't do what everyone thinks he's going to do, do you come back out with the Migos album and then hold the other two back because you're worried about how well their albums are going to be received?
Yeah, and again, it's all about the perception and what they can do with it. You know, I mean, if he's successful, then of course, then I'm venturing it out, and you know, I mean, shit, you multiplying. You know what I mean? You're gonna bubble up and break it down and get that money, let everybody get paid, and go from there. Now, if it's not successful, then I think you got to go back to the group. You know, I mean, I don't believe in it. And the only cats, as you mentioned, that ever did solo albums and then go back to the group, it was the Lox, but that was just because of publishing purposes.
Right,
you
right,
know.
Right. There's always it.
So, I mean, in this case, I mean, if it bombs, you don't want to you don't want to water them down any further than, you know, then it has to be. So if Quavo can't carry it himself, then I would be kind of scared of Offset and whoever the third member is.
take off.
You know, you wouldn't want to go ahead and flush everything down the drain, you know, if they're not collectively working on it. So I mean, me personally, I would kind of run with this, see where it goes, test the temperature, and you know, if it's hot, go ahead and then maybe go drop one of the two, then do Amigos album, and then go ahead and get the last one after the collaborative album.
Yeah, and the timing of this album kind of threw me off too, because they're going to be touring with Drake. I think it's called Drake and the Three Migos. They might be on tour right now, because Drake was just in L.A. and him and Chris Brown squashed their beef. Didn't know that they had beef, but they squashed it. So
Tony Parker, man, the eye and shit.
Oh, that's what it was?
No.
Was that Drake and Chris Brown
at the
club?
No, that's Drake. Yeah, that's my age, man.
Yeah. Well, I remember Tony Parker did get fucked up and then get some glass in his eye, but so they're on tour. And if this record picks up traction, does this cut into Migos set time? Because hey, what if Takeoff or Off, who is this, Quavo? I'm sorry. What if Quavo has a couple fire records on there? Now, is that something where hey, we got to give him his run too, and that cuts into, you know, the Migos play set. So it's just it's just kind of interesting that they're on this tour releasing a solo album, not a new album for themselves, but a solo album, giving him, you know, the shine up front. And again, will the other two get that same opportunity? You know, so I don't know. It'll be interesting. I haven't heard, like I said, I haven't heard the album. Been online the past couple of days, and I haven't really seen the reactions that I've seen towards when other albums drop and people, oh, this is an instant classic or this is fire. And I haven't seen really anybody say anything about it other than it was out. So we'll have to see how that does. Tomorrow the numbers will come out, so you know, maybe we'll talk about that on a future show, but the numbers will drop Sunday in regards to how he's doing. So it'll be interesting to see if Quavo can keep the Mingo or the Migo train rolling. I tried. Yeah, I fucked it up. So speaking of, we just went from talking about a group that at one point said they were the greatest group of all time to maybe one of the groups that possibly could say they're the greatest of all time, the Wu-Tang Clan. Was it the RZA and
Method Man?
Are executive producing a Hulu series about the origin of the Wu-Tang Clan. 10 episodes, going to focus on a story for each episode, which I think will be really dope, especially since they're handling, you know, the curation of the series. Just off top, any stories that you want to see them cover in regards to, because you're only getting 10 episodes and the Wu's been together for a long time and there's various members, so is there anything that Sime Capone would want to see covered?
I mean, a few things. Just, you know, how they initially got started. I mean, we kind of got an idea, but, you know, to hear it from the horse's mouth, I would definitely be interested and intrigued in that. And then the second thing I'd want to have them touch base is their plan of attack, because it's hard to get that many artists, you know, and come up with a collective goal where everybody is involved, but then, you know, you're playing the background until your turn. So it's, I want to see what their reaction was initially when they came up with the plan on, you know, bubbling up. So I think that would be interesting.
Yeah, I want to hear about the beefs. I want to hear what happened with the Biggie beef. I want to hear about what was it, Raekwon punching Joe Buttons. I think Mickey Fax, you know, was punched by a couple of the Wu members. I think 50 got thrown down a flight of stairs or something like that. So I don't know if they'll go into that, but I would definitely like to see some of the stuff that went behind the scenes. And I'm all up for the origin because, again, I'm with you. I'd like to see how you're able to organize all that talent and then get everybody for a certain amount of time to play their role, so you can enter, you can release something like Enter the 36 Chambers and basically change hip hop history. If not everybody's on the same page, that album doesn't happen, you know, and this movement doesn't happen. So big ups to them, you know, for again continuing to take hip hop to new heights, and you know, this is just another, in my mind, this is just another example of them being the greatest group in hip hop history, because, you know, their name continues to be relevant, you know, as the Wu, where NWA lineage is now Dre and Cube, you know what I mean? Ren and Yella are kind of, you know, no disrespect, they're kind of afterthoughts when it comes to the group. No, I mean, you know what I mean? I mean, as far as if you say Ice Cube and Dre, that's what you're thinking of, Ice Cube and Dre. But if you say any member of the Wu-Tang, it's always going to go back to the Wu-Tang Clan. Even Meth, you know, even Ghost, you know, even Ray, the Jizza, the RZA. It's always going to be that. It's always going to be the Clan. You know what I mean? And so, to your point, I think that's why this has been so successful. And even though, you know, there's been some behind-the-scenes stuff going on, it continues to push forward and continues to grow. Oh, so speaking of Meth and in this instance, we're not gonna be able to speak about Meth without speaking about Redman. So How High 2 is happening. I was gonna say much anticipated, but no one's really been into, you know, if there was a,
think they waited too long
I definitely think they waited too long. I don't know why a sequel is necessary.
True.
I don't know if there's a huge fan base asking for a sequel to How High, which supposedly is coming, How High 2. Oddly enough, we spoke about this gentleman earlier. Yachty is going to be in the movie with DC Young Fly, but they've left off Red and Meth from the cast. So it's How High 2, but it's not really, because they're not in the film. So in your opinion, when it comes to the genre of just hip-hop movies, I don't even know if it's really a genre, but when it comes to hip-hop related movies, we're starting to see the recycling of films over the past couple of years. What, we got Superfly, Forever, or whatever the fuck it was called, some new shit out of Atlanta. And now you have How High 2. Where's the originality when it comes to hip-hop filmmaking? And it just feels like there's a void there.
Well, I mean, it's not just hip-hop. It, to me, it's filmmaking in general.
True.
Because it's, spin-offs from, 80 sitcoms and, things of that nature is being brought back to life. I think just with creativity, I mean, we have the world at our tips as far as with the internet and, gathering information. But I think with having the world at your tips, I think we become spoiled as a society. I mean, as far as, I think we're losing it, and it's not just hip hop, but it's just, art, film, things of that nature. I think that we're not evolved. Everything is all derived, from the computer itself, and we're not living in it as far as there's no imagination away from, the internet. You're kind of being fed, what you're to be imagining. You don't get away from the internet or, go outside or do any creative thinking, or critical thinking other than what's controlled by the internet or, controlled by your peers. So
do you think the internet has taken away the need for imagination? Because when we were younger, you had to have imagination, and now if you don't know something, you just Google it or, whatever your choice of wireless or provider is, you go get that. Where we didn't have that, so we kind of had to imagine what this was or imagine what this might be like. Now you definitely know. And do you think that, because to piggyback off your point and to talk about hip hop specifically, is in general, I think hip hop is less creative. And we can tie that back to the internet. We've talked about this in other shows. The Insta famous people, or the Facebook famous people, the SoundClouders, and everything have definitely changed the music. And again, you didn't have to spend the amount of time that you might have before working on a record and things, working on an album, because now it's just, hey, record, play, and put it out there.
It's up and it ready to go, man. But I mean, there's a gift and the curse of that shit, because the gift is the instant fame, the familiarity with, your music and what you're dropping and, becoming an overnight sensation. But then the curse of the shit is, and it's aligning with everything that we're discussing as far as with the internet, is the attention span. Before, when we were younger, there was no, if we were into a book, we had to finish the shit. There wasn't going into another book or opening up another book. Now, I mean, even learning right now, and you might be studying or researching some shit that you got to go ahead and take care of, but how many times are you trailing off of that subject and finding yourself over, looking at, Russian warfare or something crazy, It will just pop up and trail you along totally away from it. So I think the attention span has gotten shorter, not only for the artist, but for the listener as well.
Right, and that's why songs are 2 minutes, 3 minutes. Back in the day, we used to have longer songs. So yeah, no, I definitely feel you on that one. So to talk about an artist from back in the day, recently, LL Cool J was nominated for the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. And I was unaware of some of the other names that currently sit in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. So I'll go ahead and give you some of those now. So we have Run DMC, Grandmaster Flash and the Furious Five, the Beastie Boys, NWA, Public Enemy, Tupac, and yeah, that's pretty much it. And hopefully L definitely might get in. So let me ask you, Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, do you believe LL Cool J is deserving of the nomination and being voted in?
To be honest with you, it's overdue, you know? LL, he's been consistent for all these years, and he was one of the mainstays of hip-hop as far as in the origination of it, you know, and bubbling it up and, you know, being one of the lead creators of it. So no, he definitely deserves it, and I mean, shit, the mother, he's still fucking working, you know what I mean? Ice-T, we were talking about a mogul, LL was in the same category, you know, as Ice-T, man. We've been blessed, and those are cats that are mainstays in the art form. So yeah, I think he should have been ahead of some of the other artists mentioned, but you know, he definitely deserves to be there.
So who do you think he should have been ahead of? We mentioned NWA, we mentioned Grandmaster Flash and Furious Five, we mentioned Public Enemy, I mentioned Tupac, I mentioned the Beastie Boys, and who else was mentioned?
That's it.
So who do you think?
I'd have to put him over the Beastie Boys.
Okay.
I'd put him over the Beastie Boys because, I mean, with his contributions and the Beastie Boys, I mean, they were high. I remember being in elementary, motherfuckers would be, who's better, Run DMC or the Beastie Boys? So I remember that conversation as a kid. But, I mean, LL, as far as the extent of his career or the length of his career, you know, he obviously over the Beastie Boys. I mean, Public Enemy, I would put him over Public Enemy.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
You know,
I wouldn't go with LL over Public Enemy, but LL's definitely a first ballot Hall of Famer. He's credited for, you know, being the man that pretty much made girl rap songs a mainstay with, you know, I Need Love and then Love You Better and then everything else he pretty much did after Mama Said Knock You Out, where he really flipped and changed things there. Who else do you think should be in the hall that's not yet? Because to me, when I look at this list, and I don't know how long the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame has been around, but I'm sure it's been around for a while. So I feel there should be more hip hop artists in the Hall of Fame, and we've yet to have a female in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. So let me ask you that two-part question. First, who do you think should be in? And then two, do you think there's a female who's deserving of the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame when it comes to hip hop?
All right. I mean, as far as who should be, man, it
just in your opinion, if just based off that list, who else do you think we should have already said?
I mean, I think Kane, Big Daddy Kane, Rakim, you know, I mean, personally, and everybody else might think I'm crazy, but as far as with the delivery and the lyricism, Kool G Rap, you know, as far as his importance, you know, real ones understand the importance of Kool G Rap.
Right.
You know,
the influence of what he brought to Queens is big. Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. And female wise, is there a female that you think?
I mean, it would have to be obviously the queen. You know, Queen Latifah.
Yeah, yeah, definitely.
And then I would have to throw in MC Light as well. You know, because I mean, their contributions and what they were doing at that time, you know, it was unheard of.
I agree. I think you can slide in Roxanne Shanté just off of who she was at the time that she was. I think, you know, that's important as well. So it'll be interesting. Hopefully, as the years go by, we start to get multiple people inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. And where's the Hip Hop Hall of Fame? Not the BET Awards, not any other shit, but, you know, we need to establish our own.
Without Viacom and shit.
Yeah, we need to establish our own and start doing our own Hip Hop Hall of Fame. And if it's out there and you're aware of it, please let me know, because I'm unaware if there's an actual Hip Hop Hall of Fame.
Yeah, they got
there.
The Hip Hop Honors with no Hall
right,
of Fame.
Right, right. Yeah, no Hall of Fame. Yeah. Well, we are down to our last topic, and I wanted to talk to you about this because I know that you are going to bring a lot of, I don't want to say fire to the booth right now, but and it's been a crazy week, man, with the shenanigans of one Kanye West and being able to meet with Donald Trump. And I'll start off saying this. If he is genuine with the prison reform and, you know, I'm not buying, I went up there for the Musicians Act and all this kind of stuff. I think he has his own agenda and he's trying to use the president's platform to kind of get off what he wants to get off without really taking responsibility for a lot of the things that he's doing. But let me ask you about that, because, you know, you being one, a musician, two, you having people who are in the system, and then three, just knowing you as a person that you are and not directly agreeing with some of the things that Kanye West feels about our country and our government. What is your take when you see Kanye in the White House with the, you know, the Oval Office with the Make America Great Again hat, cheesing like, you know, cheesing like a damn fool? I mean, what's your take?
I mean, Kanye, and this has been from the beginning, what kills me is everybody feeds into Kanye, but since the beginning of Kanye, Kanye has always been about Kanye, you know, his issues, Kanye's issues, nobody else's issues, his own issues. And I mean, it's, you know, I mean, shit, we've been dealing with Kanye for what, 18 or 17 years or something like that. And it, I mean, ain't shit changed. I mean, he's trying to press for the president. I mean, I can understand the message of love and shit like that, but, you know, Donald Trump is not about love, you know what I mean? There's no love behind it, you know? So, I mean, Kanye's trying to prove his point, but that shit has no benefit for anybody, you know? I mean, it of our stature. And it's not a black or white thing. It's a rich and broke thing, you know what I mean? And there's no middle, there's no middle class or anything like that. All that shit is being phased, man. And I think with Kanye, he should be more responsible with the platform that he has to do more good for the people. Fuck Kanye, you know what I mean? I understand the artistic push and things of that nature, but, you know, we need more of a financial push and financial education as far as to the kids, you know. I mean, I was telling the fellas earlier, drawing a unicorn is cute and shit, but that's not going to help you pay a mortgage, you know what I mean? But understanding how your FICO score works, or how to acquire a home, or what a mortgage is, how to balance a checkbook, you know, I think is more important to the kids, you know, as far as giving them a direction, how to run a business, or what an overhead is, you know. I mean, you know, we all need to be cultured, but I mean, that's by design, that us not being cultured and being left where we are, you know. So I mean, there's obviously other things that we need to fix, you know, that are more important than art. And, you know, art is getting a fair percentage from Spotify, you know what I mean? Shit, what about the people that are, you know, busting their hump 50 to 60 hours a week, and, you know, they're getting over, you know, $1,000 or $1,500, you know, out of their check, you know, that's going to taxes, while this billionaire is not paying anything, you know. So, and that's affecting all of us in the mass. I mean, the 99%. So, I mean, you know, I understand with the prison reform and things of that nature, you know, but, you know, we need to change the whole system, you know. What about the reform of the police departments? We, you know, all these murders, you know, since the 60s, you know, and we're barely getting our first conviction of a police officer in 2018.
That was a case in Chicago.
Exactly.
Right.
Exactly. So I think that's more prevalent than, you know, prison reform. We need, I mean, you know, as people of color, we've been accountable for whatever we do, and overpaying the price of, you know, making things right. We need to make the officials right, not just in the police departments, but in the Senate and Congress. You know, I mean, look, I mean, we've got the Supreme Court judge, you know, getting nominated in there with, you know, sexual assault charges. Like, right. You know, yeah, this man is going to be judging, you know, to be judging, you know, what goes on and what gets pushed through in the Supreme Court. You're crazy, right. You know.
And you know, you mentioned the conviction in Chicago recently of the police officer. What's crazy to me is, where was Kanye when that was going on?
Because again, it's Kanye.
Right. It's about Kanye, and it's crazy because now he's in Uganda, and he's putting the finishing touches on Yandy, the next album that, you know, is coming out. And again, he's the thing that's crazy to me is he put the MAGA hat on, and it made him feel like he was Superman. And you know, he's saying he's no longer a puppet. He no longer has the welfare mentality, things of that nature. And it just...
But he never had it because Kanye grew up, his mother was an educator. You know what I mean? Kanye didn't have it. Kanye didn't have it rough. You know what I mean? Kanye wasn't stealing the electricity from the laundry room to light up the house. Kanye don't know that goddamn struggle. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, you know, feeling like Superman, he's crazy. I mean, I think they need to pull him away. But the Kardashians, I mean, that's how they make their money, is just exploiting themselves and, you know, all the ills of life. And, you know, he's not a puppet, but shit, he's Kris Jenner's puppet. You know what I mean?
And it's crazy because you have to think that all this is doing is strengthening, not so much, maybe the Kanye brand too, but also, like you said, the Kardashian brand. And, you know, that they're now able to get into a market that might have not associated with them before. Because, you know, they date African-American men. They have a reality TV show. A lot of things that, you know, folks that might prescribe to some of the same ideas or ideals that, you know, our current president have, probably not fucking with the Kardashians.
No, of course.
But as you start to blur that line and you use Kanye as that go-between, then it definitely, you know, brings you into, you know, brings that family into a different light. You know, imagine the places that they can take their brand, attaching themselves to Trump. I mean, look what the fuck he did for Ivanka and her clothing line and shit. Like, who is she? She's just a daughter of a rich dude. Like, why are we buying clothes from her? And not saying that the Kardashians are anything other than who they are, but by aligning yourself with, you know, the Trump brand, I'm pretty sure they're going to profit from that. And I'm pretty sure that, you know, Kanye is that main person who's going to go ahead and get that.
Well, of course. And this, you know what I mean? Like, I don't, and as much as I hate to say it, in his defense, I just don't think he's mentally aware of what he's being compromised for. You know what I mean? This is the same lady that, you know what I mean? I mean, she basically pimped out her daughter, man. They got rich off of her daughter, you know, doing porn. And she was the one behind the marketing. So, you know, with morals and standards, that's just not the family. You know what I mean? Like, you know, a poor kind. I think, honestly, personally, I mean, if I seen him, like, I'm disappointed in him. But if I seen him, I wouldn't harm him or anything like that, because I know he's in trouble, man. He's not there. His mental capacity is not there in understanding what he's doing. You know what I mean? He's just, they're there to listen. They're there pumping his head up and filling him with, you know, of course, his egotistical ideals. And, you know, they're gonna pump him, you know what I mean, until he's played out, you know? So, I mean, it's terrible, man. With that family, I wouldn't put anything past them. And I think Fabulous, I think, might have a easier time recovering than what Kanye's doing as he's digging himself in his hole.
I think people are still going to buy the album. You know, I think that, like you said, it's a forgiving culture. And at some point, well, it was just Kanye. That's the way he feels. And I think as long as the music isn't as lined or in line with some of the views that he's expressed, and he's just making music that people can vibe to or dance to, or like the little Pump record. You know, people, I like a quick sick fuck, I like a quick fuck, whatever. people were fucking with that. It was garbage, and he said some shit that was outlandish, in my opinion, before that. So, I don't know. I don't know if this is the end for him. It should be. But, again, we're forgiving culture. I think if he has hot records with the right people on them, then we kind of forget. Not we, but I think the masses kind of forget and continue to roll with it.
But, I mean, it's hip-hop. And this, with hip-hop, man, this is where we got to be accountable with hip-hop, because he's over here doing this shit by himself. But there's got to be an elder statesman to kind of tell him to pump his fucking brake. There's no older uncle in hip hop, and there should be. You know what I mean? There's definitely ones that came before us, and you know, should be enlightening the younger generation, and especially in moves like this. You know, when you're moving politically and into this format of it, and what's really at stake. So I mean, I think we need to police it better as a culture. Because, I mean, this shit makes us look fucking bad. You know what I mean? And they know it. And that's why they have his crazy ass on CNN and, you know, doing these interviews and things of that nature. Somebody needs to go in there and save Kanye. Russell Simmons.
Well, shit, Russ needs to save himself before he can come save anybody else.
Wrong reference.
Right. And, I mean, you've had T.I. spoke out. T.I. said something like, I want to slap you. You know, Snoop has said some things. But again, when you're aligning yourself with the president, that's, you know, who was it that they sent the Secret Service to his crib? Was it M? Supposedly the Secret Service called him or came to see him because some of the shit he said about, oh no, it was YG. YG and I think Nipsey. YG and Nip said that the Secret Service paid them a visit in regards to some of the shit they were saying about Donald Trump. So I imagine some of these rappers really don't want to put themselves in that position. Because, like you said, it isn't a unified culture, you know, and the elder statements don't seem to be bonding together. So you can have a Kanye be reckless, go left, no pun intended, and then be accepted after the fact. Because we don't police our own.
Yeah, exactly. There's no big homies, you know what I mean? There's no big homies to go ahead and run that or correct it, you know. So, I mean, like I said, man, they're extorting the shit out of him. Like I said, he thinks he's free. he's free to make himself an ass, you know, while them girls is getting paper, you know what I mean?
Right,
and it's crazy, man. And, you know, and it benefits Donald Trump, too, because, you know what I mean? He's trying to have people cross over to his line. And, you know, like I said, man, they're fucking worried about, you know, the residuals of Spotify and all these streaming services, but why the fuck is gas going up, you know, to $4 a gallon and going to get, at least here in California, they're going to tax it even more in the month of November. But, you know, motherfuckers ain't paying attention to that type of shit.
No, because we always are distracted by other shit, unfortunately. But you could be distracted by this podcast. We definitely, you know, spend the hour and a half, whatever we give you, you know, continue rocking with us. But man, I don't have anything else. Do you have anything else you want to touch on before we get the fuck out of here?
No, man. Yeah, just appreciate everybody tuning in and, you know, make sure you check us out. An honest conversation about hip hop.
Yeah, definitely. And make sure you go ahead and follow us on the social media joints. You can get us on IG, and that's AHCAHH_podcast. Follow Syme Capone at Syme, SIMKAPONE. That's on IG. Also, King OG, KINGOG 577. Mr. Bootlegs and B-Sides himself, that's at BOOTLEGZNBIDEZ. That was a mouthful. But go ahead and follow us on Instagram. You can also find us on Facebook, An Honest Conversation About Hip Hop, King OG Park Boys, and The Real Syme 714. You can check us on all social media joints. You can download the podcast on Google Play, iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, and also the Audio Boom, audioboom.com digital soapbox network. You can find us there as well. But until next time, we're going to go ahead and wrap it up. again, Simon, anything you want to say before we get the fuck out of here?
Hey, man. Thanks for tuning in.
Well, it's been your host and moderator, D. Moraney, a.k.a. Hip Hop's Uncle Phil. Check us out next episode. Hopefully, we'll have the entire crew with us. And we have a new episode of Solo Bolo coming next week. So make sure you check that out. Everybody have a good week. Until I catch you next time, thank you for checking out An Honest Conversation About Hip Hop.